Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue in our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will continue in our study of Quran chapter 6, examining that which is written in verses 84 through 87. For there we read, "And we granted him Isaac and Jacob, both we guided, and Noah we guided before, and among his descendants David and Solomon and Job and Joseph and Moses and Aaron, and likewise we reward the doers of good, and Zacharias and Yahya," he meant John the Baptist, "and Isa," he meant Jesus, "and Elias," he meant Elijah, "all were from the good, and Ishmael," and "Elisha," he meant Elisha, "and Yunus," he meant Jonah, "and Lot," and "we preferred all those above the worlds." Notice here, when Muslims read such verses in the Quran, they actually convinced that they have the truth, and the word of Allah is true because it matched that which we read in the Bible. Everybody knows that the Bible is the word of God, and Muslims claim it used to be the word of God. And what do we read in the Bible? But many biblical stories, like the story of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Noah, and David, and Solomon, and Joseph, and Moses, and on with all these names. So when Muslims read Quran chapter 6, verses 84 through 87, they are actually convinced more and more that the Quran is the true word of God. After all, we're talking about same names of same prophets of the same people, but as Muslims see it, they're actually reading the accurate information, because what we read in the Bible has been changed, has been corrupted, and now Allah is correcting the record and make sure that His word, which is the Quran, is the perfect word of Allah without any error. So, believe it or not, that's not just what Muslims believe. That is actually what most liberals in America, those who claim to be Christians, but they're not Christians at all, like gay and lesbian churches and many of the cults from within Christianity. Why? Because Muslims will go and talk with them, and they will open Quran chapter 6, verses 84 through 86, and they will read all these names and say, yeah, there must be truth in the Quran. After all, we're talking about the same prophets. We're talking about the same people as we see it in the Bible. But in reality, any student of the Word of God, the Bible, when he reads that which is written in the Quran, you cannot help but to laugh. Why? Because we have a cocktail salad. We have a chaos in the Quran. I remember in my exam in Old Testament survey, our professor will give us a bunch of names mixed together like that which we have read in the Quran. And he will ask us to put these names in the right order with the dates of when they were living. That is a hard test if you are not a smart student of the scripture to know when all these people lived. For we know that Abraham lived 1800 years before Christ, and Moses was 1500 years before Christ. How about Job? Well, Job was before Moses. That's why we believe the book of Job is actually the oldest book in the Bible. What about King David? Well, King David was 1000 years before Christ. And how about this person and that person? These names and these days cannot be found and discovered accurately unless the person is very familiar with the Bible and the timeline of where and when these people lived. That is something neither Allah nor Jibreel or Muhammad have a clue. And that's why most Muslims do not know who came first and who came second. I mentioned earlier in previous broadcast that Muhammad does not have two accurate names together written in the Quran. And that's true. And when he mentioned names accurately, as we read here in Quran 6 verses 84 through 86, we see a cocktail names. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. He mentioned Abraham first because that is, we granted him. Him here is Abraham. And then he mentioned Isaac and Jacob. Which is great, because Isaac is the son of Abraham and Jacob is the son of Isaac. But not only we're missing other names there, we're going to see a cocktail of names come after that. Well, if he mentioned Isaac, why he did not put Ishmael before Isaac? Because Allah, even in the Quran, granted Abraham a son by the name Ishmael, and Muhammad did not put it here. As we're going to see, he will put it a little bit later, in the wrong place. Biblically, I would say God gave Abraham Ishmael and Isaac, and then I will list the rest of the names of the sons of the concubines, which we read about in Genesis 25. But that's not what Muhammad did here. He just mentioned Isaac and Jacob. Now, grammatically in the Arabic language, you may assume that Isaac and Jacob are brothers, because the order of the writing of the word is Allah granted Abraham Isaac and Jacob. Like if any of you have four or five children, he would say, God gave me, and then you name their names of your children because these are your children. Obviously, Muhammad did not know that Jacob is the son of Isaac, not the brother of Isaac. And that's a problem. But notice what came after Jacob. And then he said, both we guided. Who? Isaac and Jacob. That's wonderful. After that, and Noah we guided before. Excuse me. Why you put Noah after Abraham, after Isaac and Jacob? But he has the word before. Why he puts the word before? Because Muhammad does not know how many years were before God gave Abraham Isaac. Was there a man by the name Noah? And then he come after Noah to give us the descendant of Noah to be David and Solomon. Well, where we read about David and Solomon from Noah is many years. But that's not what Muslims will understand by reading the Quran. And surprise, surprise, after David and Solomon, we come with Job, which supposed to be way, way, way before both David and Solomon. And then after Job, Muhammad mentions the Quran, Joseph. Excuse me. I saw Joseph as the son of Jacob. Why didn't Allah say we granted him, that's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph? If you want to put it in the right order. And guess who came after Joseph? Moses and Aaron. You see the problem? Muhammad does not know who came first and who came second. After Aaron, now we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Why? Because we talk about Zechariah and Yahya, who is supposed to be John the Baptist, and Jesus. All right? Who do you think come after Jesus but Elijah? Are you kidding me? Yes. Well, Elijah is the Old Testament. Elijah is hundreds of years before Zechariah and John the Baptist and Jesus. And after Elijah, we read Ishmael. God helped the Muslims to realize how foolish is the writing of the names which Muhammad mentioned in the Quran. Why is that? Because Ishmael should be given immediately after we mention Abraham. And we granted Abraham Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was born 11 years before Isaac. How in the world Allah entered the name Ishmael after we move to the New Testament? After we confuse ourselves by going back to the Old Testament when we talk about Elijah. And after Ishmael, we come with Elisha. Wait a minute. I saw Prophet Elijah and Prophet Elisha were successor to each other. And literally, you should mention Elijah and then immediately you mention Elisha. Not to squeeze Ishmael between. And guess who came after Elisha? Jonah. God help me. How in the world you put Jonah after Elisha? And after Jonah, you enter Lot, who's supposed to be the nephew of Abraham. So Abraham have nothing to do with Lot because he is actually his brother's son and he should not put him in that order, period. And Allah is telling us that we favor them above the world. Now, you have to understand, this is just simply a cocktail of names. What I like after verse 86, when we go to verse 87, that Muhammad put just simple words to tell the world that he's not making any mistakes at all. Why is that? Listen to what Allah said in verse 87. And among their fathers and their descendants and their brethren. Woo! The fathers and the descendants and the brethren. That cover everybody. Not one person would be missing. Why? Because you got the fathers and you got the descendants and you got the brothers. That's everybody in the family. What do we have about all these? And we chose them and guided them into a straight way. What a great cocktail of names. By the way, every time Muhammad mentions these names, He always puts them in wrong orders. Not the same now. You have to understand. As Muhammad tells the story, in one place, he maybe talk about Abraham, and after Abraham, he talk about Noah, and after Noah, he talk about David, and after David, he talk about Zechariah, and then he talk about Adam. Another place, he may start with Adam, and then he move to Noah, and after Noah, he talk about Lot, and after Lot, he talk about Jonah, and another place he talk about, and literally, every time you read the stories of the Quran, with all these names, Muhammad never repeated them in the right order, or in the same wrong order. Why did Muhammad do that? It's very simple, because he does not know who came first and who came second. That is a huge problem in the writings of the Quran. If Muslims just have logic and common sense, they will figure out that the man who wrote these names is ignorant of the stories behind these names.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightway of Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Not only Muhammad gave us the wrong order of names, but he gave us false names. Yahya is not John the Baptist. John the Baptist in the Arabic language is Yohanna al-Ma'midan. Elias is not Elijah. Elisa is not Elisha. Isa is not Jesus. For Jesus in the Arabic language is Yeshua. And Yunus is not Jonah, which we call in the Arabic language Yunan. You see, this is a problem. And our dear Muslim friends will not figure it out unless we the Christians take the truth of the gospel, the right order for the right names for these characters, and share it with the Muslims. Similar to that, also those who call themselves Christians, but they're not Christian at all. Those liberal churches who bring the Muslims into their congregation to teach about the beautiful Quran and how the Quran and the Bible talk about the same people. We need to educate those people who claim to be Christians and let them know not only Muhammad got the names in the wrong order and he gave the wrong names to these characters, but even the stories of these characters are always written wrong in the Quran. Not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Quran as Muhammad repeated his stories in the pages of the Quran. And you can learn a lot about that from my book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, The Revelation of Error. Now I'd like to move with you to Quran chapter 6 and verse 93. For there we read the following. And who is more unjust than one who forged a lie against Allah or said, it has been revealed to me when nothing was revealed to him? And who said, I will send down like that which Allah has sent down? And if you see, when the unjust are in the floods of death and the angels reach forth their hands, get your souls out. Today, you will be rewarded with a humiliating torment because of what you were saying against Allah without the truth. And you were proud against His verses. Once again, when we read verses like that in the Quran, we will not have a clue what Muhammad is talking about. But we're thankful for those so-called Muslim scholars because they give us a little bit of help about what's going on here. Now, in this verse, we learn that there are two separate people Allah is speaking about. The first one by the name Musaylimah, the liar. The second one is by the name Ibn Abi Sarh. And those are the people who used to write for Muhammad the Quran. As Muslims claim, Muhammad could not read and write, so he will just simply recite the verses of Allah to them, and they will write it down for him. So Musaylimah the liar was not actually a prophet because he was simply lying. He pretended to be a prophet as he claimed that it was revealed to him. As for the second gentleman who used to write for Muhammad by the name Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh, he actually left Islam, then he became one of the polytheists who lived in Mecca. Now, when Quran chapter 23 verses 12, 13 and 14 were revealed to Muhammad, Muhammad recited these words to Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh. After he finished reciting it, he made a statement and Muhammad liked that statement and he asked him to add it to the verses of Allah. So here is how Muhammad received these verses. As we read, "And indeed, we created the human from an extract of mud. Then we made him a nutfa in a secure place. Then we created the nutfa into a clot. So we created the clot into a piece of flesh. So we created the piece of flesh into bones. So we closed the bones with flesh. Then we made it another creature." Then Abdullah ibn Sarah said, "So blessed be Allah, the best of the creators." When he said that, he was saying it in a way to say, wow, how great is Allah. Blessed be Allah, the best of the creators. When Muhammad heard him say that statement, Muhammad liked it so much, so he told him, write it down in the Quran. It's exactly like that. It was descended on me. That's when Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah doubted that Muhammad is a prophet. For he said, if Muhammad is truthful and he is really receiving revelation from Allah, that means it was also revealed to me as it was revealed to him. And if he is a liar, so he just put what I am adding to the word of Allah in the Quran. That's why Abdullah ibn Sarh left Islam and he joined the polytheist in Mecca. Later, when Muhammad invaded the city of Mecca 1 year before he died, he gave an order that his followers, Abdullah ibn Khatl and Maqis ibn Sababa, to kill Abdullah ibn Sarh, even if he was holding into the Kaaba, which in Muhammad days was a very holy place. If somebody ran to it, he would save his life as a place of refuge. When Abdullah ibn Sarh heard about the order of Muhammad for his killing, he ran to Osman ibn Affan, who was his brother in the breastfeeding. And Osman brought Abdullah ibn Sarh to Muhammad. Somehow he made a peace between them, but Muhammad did not say anything. Later, when Osman left, Muhammad gave the order, so they struck his neck and they killed him. Finally, let's move on to the last verse I would like to cover with you. In Quran chapter 6, that is verse 109, for there we read, "And they swore by Allah with a strong oath, if a sign would come to them, they would believe in it. Say, surely signs are only with Allah. And how do you feel it is? If it comes, they would not believe." And now let me share with you the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, who stated that the people of Quraysh came to Muhammad and they told him, "You told us about Moses, how he used his rod to strike the rock and came out of it 12 eyes of water. And you told us that Isa used to raise the dead. And you told us that Samud have their miracles of the camel. So bring to us a sign that we believe in you." So Muhammad said to them, "What do you love?" They said, "We'd love to have gold or raise some of our dead people so we can ask them about you. Are you truthful or not? Or show us angels so they may testify for you." So Muhammad said, "If I did that, will you then believe me?" They said, sure, we swear by Allah, we will follow you. All of us will follow you. So Muslims asked Muhammad, why can't you perform a miracle for them that they may believe in you? So Muhammad continued to call on Allah that he would make some of the land there a gold, or that he may send Jibreel. So Allah said, whatever you wish, I will make gold. But if they did not believe you, I will torment them. Or just leave them alone. Those among them who supposed to repent will repent. So Muhammad chose to leave them alone, and he would not perform any miracles for them because he really does not want them to be tormented by Allah. What a great excuse! So Muhammad could not perform one miracle to convince his people that he's a true prophet because he was afraid if he performed the miracle and they did not believe that they would be tormented. Oh, excuse me. What about all those who will not believe because he did not perform any miracle anyway, and they will be tormented in hell? What is the option Allah or Muhammad have given these people? My friends, it's very simple. All the prophets who came before Jesus and also the disciples of Jesus performed miracles to support the message they were teaching. That's why many people believed. Now, Muhammad could not perform one miracle because he is not a true prophet. As for the excuse which Muslim scholars like Al-Tabri gave us for why Muhammad did not perform any miracle, is very pathetic. Or why in the Quran did Allah give all these miracles to all the prophets whom Muhammad claimed that they were from Allah? In our next broadcast, we will begin chapter 7, and until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.